I want to invite you to turn with me this morning, a departure from Genesis. In light of the events of this past week, I felt like it would be appropriate to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about what happened this past week. And so I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 21 through 32. And the subject of our message this morning is, how can people be so evil? This morning, the major headline across the top of the Dallas Morning News read this: a nation mourns, seeks answers. A nation mourns, seeks answers. Well, the answer is in the Bible. The answer is in Scripture. The Bible is relevant to you and it's relevant to me today as it was 2,000 years ago. So let's read the passage. We're going to look at verses 21 through 32, and then we'll start and look at the message. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire for one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see it fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to practice them. This past week, one of the most horrific massacres in our nation's history occurred in a small town of a little over 25,000 people. You wouldn't have thought it would be that way. And the sad thing is, this isn't the first time something like this has happened, and it won't be the last time. In fact, within the last few years, we've had killers walk into movie theaters, high schools, courthouses, shopping malls, and churches, and randomly kill innocent people in cold blood. This past Friday, a man walked into an elementary school and killed 20 children and 6 adults, including himself. And the major question, turn on every channel on TV, the major question people say, why? Why is this happening? How can this happen? What causes someone to kill little kids, innocent little 6 and 7 year old kids? How can anyone kill little kids or anybody like this? How can this happen? It's natural to ask this question. And so I want to look this morning in the Bible, in this passage, to help you see what the answer is. What does the Bible say about this horrific, ghastly, sickening thing that happened? And that does happen. And it seemingly is happening more and more often. Well, I've outlined our passage here with three in three parts. Number one is the cause. What is the cause of this? That's verse 21a, the cause. And then there's the consequence. What's the cause? What's the consequence? Consequence is in verses 21b through 25. And finally, we're going to see the conduct that plays out. We see the cause, the consequence, and the conduct in verses 26 through 32. So let's look at the cause. What is the cause? Verse 1, for even though they knew God. What does that mean? Even though they knew God. Well, this is an expansion. We couldn't look at the whole chapter of verses 18 and 19 in Romans 1. Look at verses 18 and 19. Let me read it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. Here it is. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. They knew God. It simply means that all people, every human being on the face of the earth, has a general knowledge built inside of them of God. In other words, you've often heard, well, what about the person in the Amazon or the person in the backwoods of Africa that never had a chance to hear about Christ? They have. The Bible says they are still held accountable because all men and all women and all people have a knowledge of God built inside of them. They're programmed that way. There is a general revelation in two ways. You know what it is? Number one, in nature. God tells us here in Romans 1 that all men can go outside and look at nature and have a revelation of God. They can look at their hands, their arms, their feet, see how they're born, how their children are born. They can look at the sun and the moon and the stars and the trees and nature. And God is revealed in nature. And the second way that all men know and have a knowledge of God is that they have a conscience. You know what's interesting? If you turn on the TV, you won't see anybody talking about this incident now that doesn't want to pray. Beforehand, take God out of school. Take the prayer out. Take the prayers out at the football games. Take the prayers out over the... When I was in high school, we would have a prayer every morning over the intercom. But now, when incidents like this happen, you want to pray. Everybody wants to pray. So there is a built-in conscience of God for everybody. So the Bible says, all men are without excuse. Because there's two ways God reveals Himself, in nature and in a man's conscience. There is an internal conscience and an external creation. The problem is sin. And sin is a compelling force to tell men and women and keep men and women from looking at this. It's a hardening of the heart. It is a desire to suppress the truth that God puts in all men and women. And so all people, regardless of the chances that you think they have to hear the gospel, have enough built inside of them that's been given by God to make a choice to love Him. Just by looking at His creation and listening to their conscience. Every person has enough God-given evidence about God that they are without excuse. That's what we're... Now listen to this right here. This is interesting. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. Anthropologists have researched workers who have investigated this problem and have produced vital evidence. Listen to this. The most primitive tribes among the Pygmies in the heart of Africa The Aborigines in Australia and in certain parts of northwest of the American continent, wherever you find the most primitive people imaginable, even there is a found, there is a sense of a supreme being and a supreme God in the way they lived, in the way they worshiped. There was a sense, even in those primitive tribes, that there were gods. You could see it in the way they lived. It's universal in human nature. But the problem is sin drives men away from God. And even though they know He exists, and even though they go outside and they see the power of nature, their inclinations of sin are so strong that they suppress the truth. And so, men love darkness rather than light. And that's what it means. Although they knew God, all men have a knowledge of God. And this built-in knowledge of God, the Bible tells us, because they ignore it, it's the cause of evil and wickedness in our world today. Look at verse 21a. They have this knowledge of God, and then it says, but they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. That's the problem. That's the cause. That's the issue. You can't say they didn't know about God. They do know about God. And this word honor means simply they don't glorify God. The Westminster Confession of Faith sums it up. What is man's chief end? Have you heard it for years if you've grown up at the chapel? It's to what? It's to glorify God. It's to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And the Bible says that if you ignore God, that's the cause you don't glorify Him. And when you don't glorify Him, you don't thank Him. Why? Because of pride and sin. Instead of loving God, sin wants us to love ourselves. And instead of yielding to Him, we want to take control of the sin of pride and selfishness. Instead of thanking Him, we ignore Him because of our pride and selfishness. So what's the cause? What's the cause? The cause isn't you don't know about God. The cause is you know about God. And not only do you not have an excuse, when you know about God and then you don't glorify Him and you don't thank Him, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this, man does not thank God for His mercy or for His goodness or for all of His dealings in providence. We take the sunshine for granted. We're annoyed if we don't get it. We take rain for granted. He is the Father of mercies, and yet people go through their whole life and they never thank Him. They ignore Him completely. And that is how we show our attitude towards God. And in this way, the Bible is telling us men suppress the truth that has been revealed concerning God. That's the initial cause. That's the root cause. That's the bottom line. You ignore God. You don't glorify Him. You take Him off the throne. You put yourself on the throne. You don't thank Him. You don't love Him. And you say, hey, I'm going to go my own way. The bottom line is, you can know about God, but there is a million miles difference than loving Him. You see? You can know about Him. But loving Him is a different story. When people decide not to love God, that's the cause. And it begins when people don't acknowledge that God owns them. Do you realize your breath? How many breaths have you taken since you've been here this morning? 1,000? 2,000? Every breath has been given to you by God. It's a gift. Do you thank Him for all you have? Do you understand you're dependent on God for everything? Do you realize you're separated from God by sin and you got to trust Him? Got to trust Jesus to forgive your sins and restore that relationship. And the problem is, if you take God off the throne and you put yourself on it, then you're taking the first step of the cause of this evil, wicked world we live in. And when you do that, there are consequences. There are consequences. Not only destroys the one who makes the decision, like this shooter. He's dead. He's in hell. But it also affects people around you. That is the dangerous cause. You ignore God, you don't glorify Him, and you don't thank Him. And with that, it leads us to consequences. Look what happens. Verse 21b, but they became futile in their speculations. What does that mean? It means that men think they can run their lives better than God. That's what it means. It means that man thinks, I'm better than God. I'm smarter than God. I'll do this and I'll have a better life. They don't believe they really need God. That's what it means, futile in their speculations. It's when men are left to their own mental strategies. They think they're sophisticated and they're intellectual and Christians are stupid. And that's the way they reason and that's the way they live, with futile speculations. Look at the other consequence. And then their foolish hearts are darkened. This means their hearts become hardened, darkened, enslaved to sin, and it leads to moral perversion. That's why Jesus says in the Bible, in John, He says, I am the light of the world. The world is blind. The world is blind because hearts are darkened. They don't know what they don't know. You can't see truth without Christ. He is the light. So the first two consequences, look, they're futile in their speculations. I know some of the smartest people in the world. They got no clue about God. And they think they're so smart. And they think Christians are so ignorant. That you're a mental midget if you're a Christian. That's what it means. They're futile in their speculations. And then their hearts are darkened. They got no clue. And then verse 22, professing to be wise. You know people like that? You people, kids in college? All these smart, brilliant professors? Professing to be wise, they became fools. This is what God thinks of everyone who rejects Him. You are a fool. These are God's words. What is a fool in the Bible? It's someone that is not only a moral failure, but in God's mind, they're intellectual failures. In regards to what's most important, Psalms 14:1 says, listen, this is what God says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God says in 1 Corinthians 1, He makes foolish. The wisdom of the world. So there you have it. Hard heart. They reject God. They become futile in their speculations. The hearts become dark. And then they think they're smart. But God says, you're a fool. You're a fool. You know an example of that? We've been studying Esau. Esau is a perfect example. Do you remember? He was skilled in the world's ways. He was a great hunter. He was good with people. He could make money. He built a huge business. I mean, measuring by the world's standards, he looked great. But left to his own foolish heart, it cost him. He lost his birthright. But he was, on top of that, separated from God forever. In hell. Eternally tormented. Because of his sin. Foolish! And next, verse 23. The consequence continues. They exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. And here's what happens. Look at your world today. Men substitute God for themselves. Men take God off the throne and they put themselves on the throne. And it says of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Back in ancient Egypt and that culture, these were idols. That's what it's saying. Men exchange and trade God, the Creator, for idols. It's just self-worship. It's idolatry. It's our society today. We trade God for money. We trade God for sex, for sports, for celebrity status, for entertainment, for health, everything. Our society takes God off the throne and puts idols on the throne. Everything we want to make us happy. We worship everything except the one true God. That's evidence. That's the consequence of a heart that ignores God. The essential sin, someone wrote, which gives rise to idolatry is selfishness. That's our society. When a man creates his own God, he can control it, you see? He doesn't want anybody controlling him. But when a man can make his own God, he can control that God. It exists for his own profit and his own pleasure. That's an idol. And this sort of God requires from this man no particular standard of ethical or moral behavior. So to worship an idol is ultimately to worship yourself. And there you have the downward spiral of the consequences of trying to take God off the throne. Look how foolish this is. Do you see how foolish this is? Men trade wealth, the wealth of heaven, for garbage. Magnificence for ashes. They trade truth for error. Light for darkness. Men trade the Creator for the creature. And men attempt to divorce God and establish their own reign. That's what happens. Psalms 2 tells us, what's wrong with our world? The nations are in an uproar. The nations all over the world are in conflict. Because people are devising vain things. The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel against the Lord. That's the problem. The downhill spiral continues. Look what happens and what God does in verse 24 to people who reject Him. Therefore God gave them over. What does that mean? It means that this is divine abandonment. The Creator that makes you gives you over. He abandons you. He walks away from you. It means death. It means God removes His restraining, patient hand from you. And He lets sin take over. And He lets the desires that you want take over and control you. And that is a devastating course in men's life. It's death. And then it goes on and says, God gave them over to what? Look, the lusts of their hearts to impurity so their bodies would be dishonored among them. God gives men in sin over to punishment by means of the suffering caused by their own sin. Isn't that interesting? You see what He's doing? You want the sin. God will let you have it, and He'll let those consequences eat you up. He gives you over. Man discovers that the supposed sweetness of his sin, the love of the sin, he goes for it, John Murray says, and it turns into bitterness, and the pleasure that you think you're getting will become a gnawing cancer in your life. God's displeasure is expressed in His abandonment of the persons concerned to more intensified, aggravated cultivation of the lusts of their hearts. And the result is they reap for themselves a corresponding toil of punishment and revenge. In other words, listen, the very thing that men want and desire is what brings destruction on them. That's what we're seeing. Verse 25. It continues. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Men are more concerned with self than truth. Men don't want God anywhere near them. The Democrats struck God out of their platform. They don't want God. You see what it says? They exchange the truth of God for a lie. They don't want God. The leaders of one of our major parties in our country are so perverse, they would rather have error than truth. That's right here in Romans. And in their arrogance, they choose the devotion and worship of men rather than God. As I mentioned in the opening, there's a movement to take "In God We Trust" off our dollar bills. There's a fight everywhere you see prayer in school. Remove God. Paul's being pretty specific, isn't he? This is the result of turning from God. This is the consequence. Now, there's a cause. You turn from God. He revealed to you who He was. You turn from Him. You don't honor Him. You don't thank Him. You don't glorify Him. Then all of a sudden your heart becomes hard. This is the consequence. And then Paul becomes more specific and he gives conduct. There's a conduct that plays out when you do this. Look, that's our last point, verse 26. For this reason God gave them over. There it is again. Because you ignored God, because you gave up on God, because you didn't worship Him and you wanted yourself first, God gave you over to degrading passions, for women exchange the natural function for which is unnatural, and in the same way men abandon the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. So number one, what happens when the world, when the nation, when the country, when the states, when the society gives up on God? Homosexuality becomes rampant. Paul doesn't simply explain this as another type of sin, but rather it is a plunging of the human race into the deepest abyss of human depravity. Because that which is unnatural in God's creation, the reversal of natural sexual functions, is total rebellion against God's creative purpose. And the extreme level of sinning in this way in conduct causes God to abandon men to the gutter and sewer of human existence. And that's what this is. This past November, after the election, the Los Angeles Times had an editorial. I read it. It wrote, "Gay rights and the marriage march. It's been rough going, but the nation is slowly moving toward acceptance of same-sex marriage." And then he goes on to write, "It took a long time for same-sex marriage to win at the ballot. But when it finally happened Tuesday, this last month, it happened in a big way. In the states where voters considered measures to recognize gay marriage, Maine, Maryland, and Washington, all three won." There you have it. Terrible. And we continue. Verse 28. We continue to see the conduct. "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over," look at this, "to a depraved mind, to do the things that are not proper." Man's fundamental problem is his heart, right? He needs a new heart. And this heart disease controls what? Your mind. And that influences your entire being. Everything else, your mind controls your motivations, your activity, your desires, your intentions, your pursuits. All come from your heart and your mind. And unless they're changed by God, it's in the gutter. It's useless. Your mind then becomes useless and dead Ephesians 4. It hates righteousness. Colossians 1. You're mentally and emotionally corrupt. Titus 1. And the only hope is a renewed mind, a changed mind in Romans, to be a mind like Christ. Otherwise, there's no hope. In a recent Gallup poll, I read this. Americans think our moral values are getting worse. They do. But few Americans cite moral and social issue as the most important problem in the country. The issue, they say, is maybe gun control. Right? It's more money. It's social. It's bigger government. It's better leaders. It's more programs. They think that will fix it. But that is not the issue. You see, the issue is not gun control. It's a dead heart and a mind which is turned from God. I have yet to hear anybody, if you hear anybody on television, all the hours that are devoted to this tragedy, anybody on television, to come out and say, men and women, the issue is a reminder that you must turn to the living God. And you have a dead heart without that. And without knowing Christ and living for Him, there is no hope for this society, for this country, for this town, or for anybody individually. Anybody seen that on TV? Anybody seen people stand up and say that's the issue? It's because we have a dead heart. The problem is a dead heart. And it leads to all the people that are evaluating this terrible tragedy. They won't stand up and say the issue. Because they have dead hearts too. The mind, God says, is depraved, dark, and unable to reason clearly. And that's the only kind of mind that could walk into an elementary school and kill innocent 6- and 7-year-old kids. And that ought to scare you and scare me, because you got that kind of heart and that kind of mind except for the grace of God. Can do that. Now, Paul even gets more specific with actions and conduct. And we can see this played out in people's lives who reject God. He lists 19 more types of conduct. Let me run through these real quick. Verse 29. First of all, their people become filled with unrighteousness. They're not right with God's law. Next, it's wickedness, everything that is opposed to God. Next, you see greed, Paul says. The desire to always want something more. Then he lists evil, refers to pagans who take pleasure in vile, vicious acts. And then he says people will be full of envy, like greed, but it goes further, explains people who want what other people want and have. And there it is, murder, abortion, killing. Look, it's what Cain did to Abel. He envied him, he hated him, and he murdered him. That's what a wicked, evil heart does. And then it goes on. Look, it says strife, quarreling, contention, like we see in our government today. Deceit, words and lies to achieve personal gain. Malice, it is a habit of evil. That's what malice is. Malice is what harms other people. Gossips, means to whisper and spread harmful secrets to hurt reputations. Verse 30, slanderers, speak against someone and smear them. And then haters of God, men want to kill God. They'd take him off the throne if they could. Arrogant, personal superiority, high opinion of yourself. Look at our political leaders. Boastful, based on pride, believing you can achieve something without God. Inventors of evil. Men come up with new ways every day to show evil. New ways to blow up the trade center. Inventors of evil. Kill people. Without understanding, verse 31. I skip disobedient to parents. Do you know people that really have an interest in obeying their parents? It's all evidence of our society and the moral decay. Without understanding, people may be brilliant, understanding of the wisdom of the world, but they are dead to the things of God. Untrustworthy. You can't trust people. Unloving, without natural affection. unmerciful. People are cruel and applaud men who hurt and afflict others. And finally, in verse 32, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they give hearty approval. That's a wicked world, isn't it? Dr. Gerstner was teaching about the depravity of man in a class. And to make his point, he compared men and women to rats. And after he'd finished, there was a question-answer period and someone was offended. And they said, Dr. Gerstner, I'm offended by your comparison of humans to rats. And he apologized profusely and he said the comparison was terribly unfair to the rats. He then went on to show what a rat does. It does by the gifts that God makes it like a rat. It does not sin. But when we behave like rats, we behave worse than we should and even worse than rats. And we are worse than beasts in our behavior. That's how wicked we are. And the problem is not security in schools, again, or the courthouses. It's not the elimination of guns. It's not more police. It's not more government. It's not more money. It's not move out of the populated cities. The problem is not more psychologists. The problem isn't more medication. The problem is the human heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? So here the Bible tells us the cause. It's very clear. What's the cause? You reject God. You don't glorify Him. You don't need Him. You'll wait till next week or tomorrow or never. And you don't thank Him. And when you do that, there's a consequence. And the consequence is a dark, hardened heart. And when that happens, you get what you want. And sin plays out, and the conduct and the evil acts are unthinkable. Let me remind you something, young people. John 10:10. The thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Satan wants to kill. He is out to steal and kill and destroy you. His desire is to steal your hope, steal your joy, steal your peace, steal the abundance that this life can have. He wants to deceive you and kill you. He's been trying to do that from the beginning of time. In the garden, he said, Eve, exchange what God has given you for this. It seemed appealing. And all sin does, but it leads to death. It leads to death. He wants you to ignore God. He desires that you love yourself instead of God. He wants you to take the apple. He wants you to try and remove God from His throne. And He wants you to be dead in your sins and forever separated from Him, spending eternity in the lake of fire for your eternal home. That's what He wants. He wants to destroy your testimony if you're a Christian. To destroy your ability to serve Him. To destroy the plan and purpose of God. Young men and women, Satan is not playing games. And this is a reminder. This is real. He is deadly serious. But Christ came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Don't buy the lie. Why do you think the people who have influence in our world, the politicians, the writers, the magazine authors, the movie producers, the creators of video games, the media, the liberal talk shows are against God and His ways. Why do you think that? Because Satan is at work and he wants to kill you. Why does the World Wide Web have so much access to so much trash? Because Satan is the prince of this world and he wants to kill you by deceiving you to say, take the apple, take God off the throne and you live for yourself. Why isn't one person standing up? Why isn't one in our country standing up and giving the reason why a man would walk in and do this? Why isn't one person saying, because it's a depraved, wicked heart and the only hope we have is in Christ? Because Satan is the prince of this world. That's his scheme. That's his plan. Let me close with this. Barnhouse said this. Will God give man brains to see these things? Yes. And will man then fail to exercise his will toward God? The sorrowful answer is true. Yes. God will give men brains to melt iron. He will give men brains to make a hammerhead. God will grow a tree and give a man strength to cut it down. And He'll give man brains to make a hammer handle to go on the hammerhead made of wood. And when man has the hammer and nails, God will put out His hand and let men drive these nails through it and place Him on a cross in the supreme demonstration that men are without excuse. Isn't that amazing? That's the wickedness of your heart and my heart. And yet God gives you a way of escape. Listen, your heart without Christ is a ticking time bomb. It is a ticking time bomb. And unless you dismantle it by choosing Christ, you will end up on death row. Maybe like this man that walks in and kills innocent people. Or maybe you somehow muddle through life, but you meet Satan and hell as soon as you die. The only answer is Christ. That's it. The truth is in the Bible. We see the cause. We see the consequence. And we see the conduct. And you here now know more than most people that are wondering what happened. They don't know. Because their hearts are darkened. Our only hope is Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for truth of Scripture. We thank You that even though we live in a dark, evil world, that in Christ we're protected. In Christ we have a promise that You will take care of us, You will protect us, You will guide us, You will give us an abundant life. But without Christ, it is more wicked and more evil sometimes than we can ever imagine. And Satan will start with the apple. He'll start with something small. He'll lure us with something that seems so attractive, and yet in the end he wants to kill us. So Father, help us this morning if we don't know You, if someone here does not know You, that they'll flee to the cross, that they'll turn, that You might drop the scales off their eyes, and that they'll flee to You and trust in You. And if we're believers this morning, Father, help it be a reminder that Satan still is after us. Satan still wants to take the joy from our lives. Satan still wants to lure us through the evil world that we might lose the joy and the abundance that You've given us in Christ. So, Father, help us to be strong in You and to be lights in this dark world. In Christ's name, amen.